Every so often, the Gospels remind us that the disciples were ordinary men, not perfect by any stretch, and prone to the same human limitations and foibles as we are. Today's human shortcoming? Monumental overreaction. A Samaritan village does not receive Jesus and his followers, and the disciples ask him, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" Of course, he rebukes them, the Bible says, but wouldn't it have been great if he had said, "Oh, I didn't know you could do that now. Impressive. And I see that you've really internalized my teachings on forgiveness." But unlike the disciples, Jesus was perfect, so thankfully he never resorts to sarcasm. So this is perhaps the first message we get from this morning's gospel reading. The disciples are fallible human beings just like us, and they can still, if they can commit their life to Christ, so can we. But then things start to get really interesting. Just three verses later, we get one of the better known sayings of Jesus. "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." How are we to react to that statement? What are we to make of it? Is Jesus saying, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head," as though it were a bad thing? As though we should feel sorry for him? I have to admit, that's how I'd always heard it. Then again, Jesus didn't really go in for self-pity very much. Is it possible that when Jesus says the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, that he's not actually complaining? And if he isn't complaining, what are the other options? One could be that he's simply issuing a warning to this man who has said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And that seems quite possible. Jesus could be telling him, "Well, okay, you're welcome to follow me, but I got to tell you, if you want to follow me wherever I go, well, you're in for some pretty Spartan accommodations." In fact, often there are no accommodations. It will not be an easy path. After all, he has warned his disciples before of what following him could entail. Just a few verses earlier from what we read today in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, "Whoever would be my disciple must take up his cross and follow me." And in Matthew, he asks James and John whether they are able to drink the cup of suffering that he will drink. So Jesus is not above warning potential disciples that following him may well have unforeseen consequences. But I think there's still a third possibility. And that is this. In saying the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, Jesus may actually be offering those who would follow him a vision of a new way of living in this world. No one has forced Jesus into living as he has chosen to do. In fact, one has to imagine that if he wanted to make his home somewhere, he could probably do so and continue to preach and heal the sick and raise the dead. It's quite clear from the Gospels that many people were committed to Jesus and probably would have been thrilled to have him take up the guest room in their house for an extended period. But Jesus doesn't make that choice. He chooses to go from place to place as the Spirit moves him. In the Gospel of Thomas, one of those ancient writings that didn't make it into the Bible, and in fact was unknown to modern Christians until it was discovered in a jar in the Egyptian desert in 1945, Jesus says in this so-called gospel, "Be wanderers. Be wanderers." Perhaps here in Luke, when Jesus tells us that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, he is saying, "Be wanderers, just like I am." And that might make sense of the other statements Jesus makes this morning. In one case, a man wants to follow Jesus just as soon as he's buried his father. And in the second case, Someone wants just to bid farewell to his family before starting out on the way with Jesus. In both cases, Jesus essentially tells these men, don't look back for one second. What matters is what's in front of you. In fact, Jesus is so adamant about this that we get one of the most shocking and indeed impossible statements in the entire Bible. Let the dead bury their own dead. Clearly, Jesus wants to tell us what is out in front of us is what matters, and we are to follow Jesus even when that leads us to places where we have no idea where, either literally or metaphorically, we will lay our heads. The great New England poet Robert Frost once said, home is the place where, when you go there, they have to take you in. Perhaps for those of us who call ourselves Christians, home is the place where, when you go there, you may never have been there before or know anything about the place, except that Jesus is there with you to share the love of God with those who desperately need it. Someone once said that being a pilgrim is a good metaphor for the Christian life, but that a nomad might be even better. Because a pilgrim follows a set path to a known destination, but a nomad travels not knowing where those travels will lead him. Because being a Christian may, in a sense, not be about following a set path or even knowing the destination of your travels, but simply knowing who you're traveling with and who you're following. Amen.